how's your New Year's resolution going? Just want to encourage you, but just want to say that if you have a New Year's resolution, 40% of people who make New Year's resolutions, they have failed by the end of January. Wow. And by Valentine's Day, it's up to 70%. Okay, so, you know, maybe you should rethink that one. But actually, I wonder what God's got for you this year. I wonder if you're excited about what God's plans are for you this coming year. I've been thinking about today's message, and I have to say, I found some inspiration on BuzzFeed. Okay, that's a strange place to find it. But my wife and I, we were kind of had a lazy morning, and then I heard her laughing out loud. And I thought, what are you laughing at? And I'll show you what she was laughing at. These are some of the failures that we have seen by British people this year, and they were kind of put on BuzzFeed. And some of them are kind of, some of them are found on Twitter. So let's have the next one. I hope you can read that. But somebody, it says there, the hot water bottle you gave me doesn't work. Put water into it like 2 hours ago, and it's still not heated up. Did you heat the water up before you put it in? I thought that was what the bottle does. Complete failure. Well, this one. My mum ordered a cake for my sister's birthday and asked for a blonde girl on the top, but it auto-corrected to blind. And we got this. There's loads of these, but here's another one. Don't usually tweet, but I've just come home to my mum crying her eyes out, asking if I do crystal meth, because she found prawn cracker crumbs in a bag on my bedside table. Sorry. And the next one. This one, my wife could not stop laughing. My dad's mate overslept his alarm and had to get on a flight within an hour, so he shoved all the clothes on his bed into his suitcase. But what he got, when he got to the airport, he found out he packed his cat. Is it making you feel good? I've never done that. Okay, then another one. Text from my mum having trouble sticking lashes on without her glasses. Turns out she was trying to glue a dead fly to her eyelid. Okay, here's another one. One of my mum's employers accepted this as payment. If you can't see, that's Peppa Pig on a £5 note. Right, this one I found my inspiration. Incredible scenes at Christmas food delivery arise. My mum has managed to order a single sprout. Emma, is that possible?
Yes, I had about 7, 8, 9 single sprouts. Just the people just have one on Christmas Day. That's all they have. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, okay. We had loads of those.
There you go. That is so sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is where I found my inspiration. Because I thought to myself, do you know what? Here's somebody who probably wants an abundance of sprouts, clearly by what the son has written or daughter has written, and ended up with one. And obviously it was very humorous and perhaps disappointing. But you know, when I think about what God has to offer, how much do we really receive what God has got to offer us? And for me, that was kind of one of those moments, wow, because I only seem to tap in to a small amount of what God wants for me. A single sprout. When there's a whole lot of sprouts out there. And what does God want for you this year? Because I believe that God wants to do new things in the life of this church. And we've kind of already written that to you. I think as elders we wrote to you about, I think we wrote something to you, did we?
Yeah.
We did. Yeah, we did. Did you read that? I can't even remember what I wrote. But it was all about new things, that God has wanted to do new things. And it wasn't just about Stuart and Lapeace coming and Olivia, but it was about what God wants to do here in this place. And I want to challenge you this morning. What does God want to do that's new in your life? Or is it just going to be the same old, as it has been for years? You're going to get up and go to work and do the same thing to earn some money, to keep a roof over your head and to keep the kids in clothes. Or has God got something fresh and new and exciting? And I believe that God is always doing things that are fresh and new, exciting. But it's for us to get plugged into what he's doing. Yeah. So we've got a verse I'm going to chuck up on the screen. Okay, this is found in Isaiah 43. And Matt Thatcher said this is a great verse, isn't it? I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and there they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And that's found in Isaiah 43. It's a beautiful passage, but for me, I feel it's a passage for today. I was really encouraged because it was a passage for New Year's Day. I think it was YouVersion. It was, wasn't it? Yeah, New Year's Day, it came up, and I thought, great, I'm preaching on that. Maybe God's got something to say to all of us. Maybe God's saying to you today, I have got something new for you. And we're going to unpack what the writer Isaiah says. But have you ever thought what God wants to do in your life? You have maybe made plans or New Year's resolutions. My daughter asked me what I was going to do, and I said, well, we've got to put the bathroom mirror up. We've lived in the house so many years. We had a new bathroom fitted about 4 years ago. And the wire's still hanging out the wall, waiting for a mirror to go up. Yeah, John's nodding. Yeah, you know what it's like, John. Yeah. That was one resolution. Next one is get the bathroom, the downstairs toilet. That sorted that out as another one. And it just seemed to be loads of stuff in the house. And my wife will be thrilled when it's all done. So will I, because I can tick it off my list. But more importantly, what's God want to do in your spiritual life? Where did he want to take you? Do you feel excited about the year ahead? Some of you are, some of you maybe not. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at this passage and see what God is saying, and then how we can actually tap into what God wants for this new year. So how much do you know about the book of Isaiah? Could you write it on a postage stamp? Could you write it on a page? Could you write a book? Isaiah was a prophet, and he was called by God in the year of King Uzziah died, which is 736 BC, I think. His name actually means salvation. He had a couple of kids with some really weird names. He was married to a lady who was considered to be a prophetess. We don't know if she actually had a prophetic gift or she was a prophetess because she was married to a prophet. And his book is all about deliverance. And there are five things that he talks about deliverance from. He talks about the deliverance from an Assyrian army. He talks about deliverance from the nation of Babylon. He talks about a future deliverance for the Jews. And so his book is very much about deliverance. And he's writing at a time and foretelling what was going to happen to the people of Israel. That they were going to be taken off to Babylon. They were going to be captives there. And that actually what God was going to do, God was going to take them there. He was going to use a guy called Cyrus to punish them. But actually, he was going to restore them to his land, to the land. And what we find in Isaiah 43 is here is Isaiah writing something that's in the future. That these people who are in Babylon are actually going to come back. They're going to come back to their land. They're going to have to travel through the wilderness, which is obviously a difficult and a very dark place, not a dark place, a very dry place, but God is going to take them back. And that's why he writes these words, because he's foretelling what is going to happen to the people of Israel. Yeah. And he's saying, basically, forget the past. You've been stuck in Babylon for years and years, but forget that, because I am going to do a new thing. Yeah. I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to make, as it says there, I'm going to make a way through the wilderness. I'm going to give you water in the desert. And so the word that he brought was a prophetic word. So let's look at the three things I just want to talk about quickly. So they were given a new vision of God. Okay? Because, actually, their vision of God kind of really, I think, had really faded. They were stuck in Babylon. It was a good place to be. They were living. They were earning. And everything was fine. But God wanted something new. And he had to kind of raise their eyes and say, actually, this is who I am. You need to remember that I am the God who brought Moses across the Red Sea. I am the one who parted the Red Sea and saw the Egyptian army just kind of washed away. It's a lovely phrase, isn't it? He snuffed out like a wick, gone, destroyed. That is who I am. I am an almighty God who can do this. You aren't going on another journey, and I will take you there, just as I took the people out of Egypt and brought them safely into their promised land. So he wanted them to have a new vision of who God is. How big is your God? Oh, he's about this big. Or is he this big? Is he infinite in what he can do? Because as we walk into a new year, we need to realize our God is amazing. God can do much more than we can ask or imagine. And maybe your vision for this year isn't very big. Why don't you look at God again and who he is and what he wants to do? So that was the new vision they had to have. They then needed to realize God was doing a new thing. Okay, God is doing a new thing. And I love that about God. God is so creative. Yeah. Have you noticed that the devil just uses the same old tactics? He tempts people. He puts the same old stuff in front of them. Yeah. Never very creative, but God is always creative. God is finding a way to bless us and encourage us and challenge us. I mean, you two. Wow. What an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go through that, did you? To be a part for that time. To go all through that. But God has brought you through. God is doing a new thing. God is creative and he wants to bless us. Yeah. And sometimes it seems amazingly hard where we are.
Yeah.
But actually, God is doing something much bigger, because God works outside the box.
Always,
so God is doing a new thing, and here it says, I love this, don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the past. Now, a number of times in church leadership, you talk about doing stuff and somebody says, oh, we've done that before, it's not going to work, we tried that one. And you think to yourself, come on, where's your faith? Where's your trust? God can do more than we can ask or imagine. So, I'm doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? And there's a glimpse maybe for you of what God is doing. Maybe there's a twinkling in your eye or a drop of an idea. But let's look to God. What is God doing? Because actually, God does reveal his will to us. We get a sense of what he's saying. We get a sense of what he wants to do through us. The next thing then is, lastly, a new blessing.
Come on.
We don't live in a hot country.
Oh, Lord.
Do we? Do we, LaPeace?
We do not live in a hot country.
So perhaps we don't understand what it is to thirst, to be in a wilderness, to be in a desert situation. All we do, we used to live in Christchurch. We used to look across the fields, and all you could see after this kind of period was just water. Water everywhere, puddles, fields flooded, and we don't know what it is to thirst. But these people understood what it was to thirst and to be in need. And God is saying, actually, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to bring new blessing. Because actually, when you think about wildernesses, you don't think about streams. Streams bring life, growth. Stream in a desert is a real blessing. And what God was saying to these people is actually when you travel, you will have enough water to get you home. They reckon it was probably going to take 3 to 4 months from travel to Babylon to back to Jerusalem. 3 months in the wilderness, and God is saying to them, actually, I'm going to bless you. I am going to provide. I will do what I promised. So here we go. That's your sermon. 3 points, but I haven't finished. Oh, I heard that, Doreen. She went, oh. Because what I want to say is, okay, if God is going to do a new thing in my life, how do I kind of get to that point where I kind of am able to get to it, to access it, to find out what he wants, to be part of that new thing? Well, there are 3 things. Surprise, surprise. I just want to tell you. The first one is this. Let's go for it. It's about trusting God. The word I had was faith, but I just changed it all to make it look pretty. To have faith in who God is. And I don't mean just this kind of sort of mental belief. I know God's good. I know he loves me. I know God can do great things. But a kind of faith that steps out. Do you know what? I'm going to ask you to do something which you might find quite scary at the end of the service. Because as elders, we thought today it'd be great to anoint people with oil. Wow. I just want to warn you now, we don't tip oil over your head, okay? You won't be swimming in olive oil by the time you finish. But you just want to kind of put some oil on you as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you might think, oh, I don't want that. Oh, that sounds really scary. Get out of my chair and come to the front and be a little cross of oil on my head. But surely if we're wanting to go with God, if we have faith in him, we will do what he asks, however scary it is. And it's not very scary, to be honest, to come to the front and have oil put on your head, is it? But for some of you, you might think, oh, yes, it is. But what it's going to symbolize is actually, I believe in God and I am going to go with the new thing he has for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust him.
Hallelujah.
I hope this year as we kind of go through it, that your faith and your trust in God will increase.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, we very often, we don't put our trust in God, do we? We kind of live by sight. That's what the scripture says.
Yeah.
We need to walk by faith, not by sight. Just think about your job. God said to you tomorrow, I want to give it up. Not you, by the way. Okay. By the way, Ashley's retiring in June. But if he said, I just want you to give it up and do something different, how would you feel? What would go through your head is, how am I going to survive financially? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? But surely if God's saying to you, give it up.
That's right.
He says, I want you to move. I want you to live here. I want you to retrain. I want you to work in the food bank. I want you to go and help with the night shelter. I want you to go and, this is a really tough one, I want you to go and work in Blast with children, or even harder, I want you to work with the youth. It's scary, isn't it? Oh yeah, Amos. But if God's asking us to do stuff, what is our response?
Yeah.
Normally, it is to think through every reason why we shouldn't do it. Well, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. Surely we as people of God, we trust him and we have faith in him that if he asks us to do something, he's going to bring us through, he's going to bless us and use us. I wonder if you really believe God is going to bless your life this year. Because surely if you do, you would trust him and be willing to give up whatever he asks of you. To lay things down or maybe to pick things up. I just want to encourage you that actually, this is where it starts. If we want to see the new thing in our life, we have to have complete faith and trust in him.
Yeah.
My question is, do you? And if you don't, maybe it's time you kind of looked for him and looked to him. The next thing I want to talk about is this, is about seeking God. What do I mean by seeking God? Do you know, I think there is one great promise that so often we just don't take on board. And this is it. I'm going to read you a verse from the Bible, and it should actually just blow you away. It says this. I found it. It talks about this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And everybody loves that verse, don't they? Okay, how many times you've written that or received it from someone? Yeah, God's got plans for me. Yes, that's really exciting. But actually, what people don't do is they don't read the next verse. It's found in Jeremiah 29, it's verse 12. It says this, because people like the plan thing, but they don't often do this. It says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Yeah. Whoa, that's good, isn't it? Oh, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, I like you. You're good. You can come again. It's good, isn't it? God is saying, "I've got plans for you. If you've come to me and pray to me, I'm going to listen to you."
Yeah.
But then we get to verse 13. This is the real one I love. Oh, I've just lost it. Okay. Oh, no, it's just jumped. And I don't know where I am on my page. Kath, read it out, verse 13. Paper Bible's better. Here we go.
Whoa.
Whoa.
"You will seek me and find me. You will seek me with all your heart.
Amen.
I will be found by you."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
"You will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart."
Yeah.
"I will be found by you, declares the Lord."
Yeah.
Wow. Doesn't that just blow you away?
Mm.
No, not really. It doesn't, does it? Let's be honest. But what God is saying, okay, let's get who, we just talked about who God is, haven't we? God is who? Creator of the universe, sustainer of all things. The universe is bigger than we can ever imagine. It's infinite. God has made all this. The God who is in heaven says to you, "If you will seek me with all your heart, you'll find me." Wow. When my son was young, one of the best things about this church was hide and seek. It's true. If you ran the youth group those days, it was like a Friday night thing. What we're doing tonight, we're going to play, Kathy says, we're going to play hide and seek. And they were hiding everywhere, maybe behind the curtain now. But it was, come on, where's Jake hidden? And he's probably in some cupboard somewhere or hiding in some weird place. But actually, he didn't want to be found. But what God is saying is, "I want to be found by you.
Yeah.
You just have to seek for me."
Yeah.
You ever thought that? Finding God. Wow. That's a life changer, isn't it? But how many of us are bothered? How many of us really are seeking after God? There's a poem that was written years ago. It says this: "I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. And so many of us are happy with the sprout. When God says, I'm here, I'm waiting. Why are you not seeking me? Because when we find God, our lives will be transformed. I think it says in the Psalms that the psalmist says, I will seek your face. And so often what we're seeking from God is his hands, aren't we? Because in his hands are the blessings. And what the psalmist says, I'm going to seek your face. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, I don't know what resolutions you've made, but actually, let's seek for God this year. Let's seek his face. Let's find him. And for some of us, that means we're going to have to put some effort in. Sorry, guys, but it doesn't happen without any kind of effort. Because it's a relationship, isn't it? And how do we grow in relationships? It's not by... Do you know, I had a thing from CWR today. It said, basically, we can help you have 10 minutes with God every day. 10 minutes! CWR saying you can have 10 minutes with God. We can help you. And again, I'm going, that's good. But what kind of relationship can you maintain with 10 minutes a day? Yeah. And it will take time. It will take effort. But surely as we seek for God, he's not playing hide and seek with us. We will find him when we seek him, especially when we seek him with our whole hearts. I challenge you. What are you going to do this year when it comes to seeking God? What things are you going to do? I received a thing which was from a guy called James Emery White. He had 15 New Year's resolutions. Here's 10. Here's the best 10. I didn't want to bore you with all 15. He says, pray more. Invest in your spiritual gifts. Get more intentional about evangelism. Care for yourself spiritually. Confront debilitating patterns of sin. Keep in touch with contemporary culture. Read more. Prioritize your family. Love people, not just crowds. I love that. Love people, not just crowds. And lastly, be more open to change. And the verse he quotes is, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? 10 minutes with God is good. But surely half an hour, being conscious of God's presence all day. Are we going to seek him? If we seek him, we will find him and our lives will be transformed. The last thing is surrendering to God. Oh, we don't like surrender, do we? Been doing a reading plan. It talks about surrender. The guy who did it says this. What did he write? Oh, can't find it again. I need a paper version, don't I? He just basically says, no one likes surrender. We don't like giving up and giving someone else control. Yeah. But ultimately, what we're doing is if we're surrendering to God, is we're saying to God, I give you everything. You seen the war films? I grew up on watching all kinds of stuff. And surrender, basically, you put everything down and you have to go where you're told. When it comes to surrendering God to God, basically, we have to put stuff down. We have to release to God all that we have and we have to make him our priority, our number one. And it may mean that we need to surrender different things in our lives. The way we use our money, the way we spend time. We need to say to God, yes, God, you are my priority and I surrender to you. In all the stuff I've been reading about surrender, somebody wrote this, God can't pour anointing oil on your head if you're standing tall with your chest puffed out and your arms crossed. And I love that picture of being anointed with oil. In the old days when they used to anoint a king would kneel and be anointed. And what the guy's saying is, if we don't surrender to God, we can't receive the anointing of God upon our lives and upon our ministries. I would just encourage you this year, what are you going to do? Are you truly going to surrender to God? I just think of the disciples. I've been reading the Gospel again, Gospel of Luke, and how when Jesus came along, he said to them, come on, guys, I want you to follow me. And it says that they left everything to follow him. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, left their boats behind and followed Christ. And I believe God is looking for people who are surrendered to him, that they say to him, Lord, you are my priority. I give everything to you, and I will follow you. Again, that's a huge challenge, isn't it? Because the truth is, most of us like what we have. And we want to hold on to what we have. But actually, God is calling for us to surrender to him fully. If you want to know the blessing of God this year, if you want to receive all those new things that he may have for you, it's about surrendering to him. It's about trusting him. It's about seeking him. And it's about surrendering to him. I wonder if you really are willing. And I think about the disciples, you know, they did. They gave up everything. But what an adventure to go on. You just imagine the kind of Christmas letter. You get Christmas letters from people. We've done this year. We've been here. We've been there. Can you imagine the Christmas letter that they used to send? We went fishing every day. We caught a few fish. Fed the kids. That was it. Once they surrendered to Christ, can you imagine the letter they would have sent home? Basically, we've travelled hundreds of miles, we walked with Jesus, we've seen Jesus turn water into wine, we've seen Jesus raise dead people, we've fed thousands of people with just a few fish and some bread. We've heard from Jesus, we've done this, we've done that. Surely, that's the kind of thing and the adventure we want to have in our lives, isn't it? To see God at work, to see God use us. God wants to do a new thing. I'm asking you today, what's he want to do in your life? And will you let him do it? Will you open your life to him? Will you trust him? Will you seek after him? And will you surrender to him? I pray that you will, and that this year will be a year of blessing. And new things will be happening in you and through you and for you. Ashley earlier talked about this prayer. This is what John Wesley wrote. It was his prayer. And as Ashley says, every year, the Methodists would make this prayer a covenant to God. They would say in the year ahead, this is what I want to do, Lord. This is the kind of person I want to be. So we're going to pray it now. I'm going to lead us in it. And basically what I want you to do when we've finished is I want you to say amen. If it's something that you want to see, if it's something you want for your life, say amen. And say amen with a depth of meaning. Let's pray together. John Wesley said, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. And the covenant made now on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Powerful words. Because very few of us really want to be empty, do we? Very few of us want to have nothing.